Hey guys, welcome to WDWNT Nerd Alert. I'm your host, Joe Hogarty, and joining me tonight is Jack McCarthy.
Good evening, folks.
And Fedra Eckeris is not here tonight. She is recovering from the gym injury during personal training. So we wish her a speedy recovery. I'm sure she'll be back next week.
And we're ready to go.
Yeah. So tonight what we're going to do is we're going to talk about Obi-Wan Episode 3. Well, Jack actually, he can kind of tell us what he thinks about 1 and 2, too. And we're also going to go over some news. But I did want to say, before we started doing this podcast, I saw that The Boys is now available on Amazon Prime. It came out early, unless it was supposed to come out early for some reason.
But now, are they releasing the whole thing, or is it just a weekly?
It's three episodes.
Okay.
So I saw one, and it just keeps getting better. You know, it's just consistently good. You know, there's slow parts in it, but it's still so good. It's better than anything that we've seen on Disney Plus, for sure. It's bloodier, gorier, even than last time that we've seen, you know, previous episodes that we've seen. So just be aware of that. It's pretty nasty. And there is a famous Hollywood superstar that makes a cameo in this, which I was shocked. I'm not going to reveal who it is. You know, I don't want to spoil Jack, but
don't spoil it for me.
No, I said I'm not going to reveal it at all. But yep, so three episodes. Check them out. I'm sure we'll talk about them next week. And that's about it. You know what I was going to do, Jack? I think what we're going to do, we did this last week, we're going to switch it up, where we were going to talk about Obi-Wan first, and then we'll do the news.
Okay.
So you don't get a problem with that?
No, I don't care. I'm easy.
All right. So
flexible as a.
As a what?
As a reed in the wind.
Okay. All right. So since you weren't here last time, why don't you kind of tell us what you thought about like the first two episodes, and then tell us what you thought about the third?
The first two episodes, I gotta say, didn't really get me all that excited. To see Obi-Wan in such a, what's the word I'm looking for?
Dismal life.
Downtrodden, I guess. That, like, even his connection to the Force has been, like, diminished considerably. I don't know, it didn't do anything to ramp me up a bit.
He's a little bit like Luke. Luke cut himself off from the Force, except he's got like PTSD, kind of.
Yeah, just kind of like he just like cut himself. No, it's not even like he cut himself off. Like it seemed like Luke made that conscious decision to do it. Obi-Wan just kind of like went to a slump and just got worse.
No, he lost his confidence.
It didn't do anything to really excite me. The Inquisitors as the villains, honestly, I just kind of found them very cookie cutter. The Grand Inquisitor just seemed very cardboard and boring. The other guy with the hat, just sort of stands there. You're like casting the role of somebody's just going to stand there and look
pissed off
with a mean face on them. You know, like there didn't really seem to be too much. The main villain, Reva, she kind of reminded me how the Sith should kind of be. You know, like she's just like a person of action, of passion, even though it's pissed off passion, you know, but angry, wants to just do things and go after things with a ferocity. That's what I liked about the character. The thing I didn't like, I mean, we've all seen heard the rumors of, you know, oh, Star Wars fans, you know, racial casting, you know, all this hubbub, and Disney coming out to her defense, even though, you know, she seems to do a great job on her own standing up for herself. But my problem with the character is we've seen that when people give themselves over to the dark side, you know, it has a physical effect on them. Like Vader, when at the end of Return of the Jedi, his helmet came off, we saw he was like a pale, ghostly white. We saw it with the Inquisitors on Rebels, how they all turned like that very pale, sullen color, and they've got the glowing eyes almost.
You know, it's funny that you mentioned that, because yeah, the Emperor is like that too.
Yeah, even the Emperor started to, you know, it must be just something with the dark side causing some sort
See, now I thought Darth Vader was like that because he never got a tan, you know. Like
he couldn't be exposed to the sunlight.
Yeah, I mean, I always thought that's why he was so pale, is because he never really saw the light of day.
Yeah,
what you say makes sense, you know.
Well, we've seen it there. We've seen it on Rebels. We've seen it in the Clone Wars, I believe, with whenever they ran as a dark Jedi or somebody was corrupted.
What about Count Dooku?
All the video games.
What about Count Dooku?
I guess that's
weird.
An exception kind of to the rule. Or maybe he was trying to keep it hidden or something. I don't know, but I like the job that the actress did, but I think if they made her look a little more paler, and let's face it, we know there's going to be a redemption. She's going to be redeemed.
You think so?
Yeah. I think so, because that's what happens with every Disney property now.
Oh, yeah. Yep. You know,
every villain gets redeemed, whether it's Disney, whether it's Marvel, and it looks like whether it's Star Wars too. But it would be like more dramatic when she makes that change over. You know, you see the life, the force, the light side come back into her, and her coloring goes back to normal. She loses the crazy orange eyes. Like, well, heck, we saw it in Anakin. When Anakin turned to the dark side, he got the crazy orange, yellow, glowy eyes. How come this one isn't manifesting it? I don't know.
Well, it's a choice.
It's a nitpick, but I think she should have some sort of physical alteration because of being sucked into the whole dark side and everything. But as for the character herself, I think that's how the Inquisitor should be. They should be these semi-raving lunatics once they start going. Look at Vader. When Vader starts throwing a temper tantrum, you know, people start dropping like flies. You know, that kind of anger brimming, you know, just under the surface, that's how every Inquisitor has, and they should have that moment to break, you know. And I think we'll see it with her, but from the other Inquisitors, they felt kind of flat.
So what did you think about this last episode?
This last episode, this last episode was very good. Little sloppy writing, you know, but it was almost good enough that I would start texting my friends at 5 o'clock in the morning and waking them up.
Oh, did I wake you up?
You did.
Don't you turn off your phone when you go to bed?
Well, I leave it on, and if you are on my select friends' favorites, you know, in case somebody dies or your house is on fire or a tornado is coming to you as emergency.
All right, from now
you are exempt from the rules, but at 5 o'clock in the morning, first off, I don't know what you were doing up that early to watch it, but 5 o'clock in the morning, here's the Joe Hogarty. It was like a gunshot. It's, you know what I think when the phone rings? Who died?
Oh, really?
Yes. So, but it was very good. But there was some sloppy writing in it. I thought they did a phenomenal job with Vader. I thought this is a Darth Vader who is meaner than we've ever seen him before. And like I said, when he's pissed off, he's walking through the village, like he snaps that kid's neck.
Yeah.
You know, he pulls a guy out and like hangs him with the Force in the middle of the street for nothing. The guy's just like cowering behind this bar. And it's like, Vader sees him like, come here, you know. And then the kid's like, Dad, and Vader snaps his neck. You know, yeah. This is what, you know, like I said, this is what the Inquisitor should be, that on edge. And I don't get that from them. Reva?
It's Reva.
Reva. So like I said, her giving back talk to the two remaining Inquisitors, the brother and the sister. You know, once again, the Inquisitors were sitting around like, oh, gee, am I getting the promotion? And when I'm the supervisor of this department, you'll learn your lesson then. You know, come on. You know, I was glad she like snapped at him and left. But certain things I don't get. Like, oh, by the way, the little girl who plays Leia, I totally buy her.
Yeah, no, I do too.
Because
I mean,
like,
she has some issues.
Even though she's like 6 or 7, she still comes across with that Princess Leia attitude.
No, I like, that's one of the things that I liked from the first two episodes was her. I thought she was good. Her acting's a little inconsistent at times, but I think that they picked a good person or a good kid to portray a young Leia.
Yeah, I you know, I like her, and she just doesn't seem annoying. Like, sometimes they get little kids in there and, you know, they just don't fit. She fits very well in that role as a young Leia. But what I don't get is she's running down the tunnel. It's a tunnel. How does Reva get in front of her?
Yeah, everybody's been emailing me about that.
Like, I would think Reva would have caught up with her. Like, you know, Leia's getting tired, so she gets the end. She just gets to the end, and there, you know, this hand comes out of darkness on her shoulder, you know, pulls her back in.
She took a shortcut. They have them all the times in cartoons. Like, you know, like when Little Red Riding Hood is going to her grandmother's, and then the wolf, you know, goes 2 feet and he's at the grandmother's house. That's kind of what she did.
Oh, or even it's the classic horror movie cliche. You know, like Darth Vader's walking. Like, I don't think anybody in a Darth Vader suit can like run. So Darth Vader's walking. Meanwhile, Obi-Wan Kenobi is running at top speed in a panic, like practically tripping and, you know, just going at full speed. And somehow Darth Vader ends up in front of him. Like, well, you know, Jason is tripping. Chasing the campers through the
woods. Yeah, no, he is like Jason. You're right.
You know, it's like, wait, how did he get in front there? You know, it would make more sense. Like, Obi-Wan's running and Vader like grabs a tower and smacks it down in the ground in front of him, so he has to stop and Vader can catch up, you know?
All right. Well, let me say how I felt about it.
Okay. Obviously you enjoyed it.
Yeah. I didn't like the first two episodes. I really did like this episode. Again, it had like some minor problems, I would say, but they got Vader so right. Like I said, his voice is perfect. When, if you remember on Rogue One and Rebels, they used James Earl Jones' voice, and it just felt like it was an older version of James Earl Jones, and he was supposed to be a younger version of that character, basically, since it was before A New Hope. But they must have done something with computers to digitize his voice where he sounds like a younger version of Darth Vader. You know, not young, but just age appropriate,
right,
for that time period. And
it's not as slow. It's like, yeah, a little bit faster.
It sounds so good. I was so impressed with that. So that really, I think that whole scene with Vader and Obi-Wan is better than what was in Rogue One, you know, when he was attacking the rebels on Leia's ship or just outside of Leia's ship.
Well, I mean, this was, you know, the stakes were kind of the personal stakes were higher in this, which added to the tension, which did make it a better scene than the Rogue One. I mean, in Rogue One, you know, he's just cutting through nameless soldiers. No, but in this, you know, you see what he's doing to a guy that he like considers as his brother once upon a time.
Well, I thought that was fantastic. I was like, when he lit that the floor on fire and yeah. He threw Obi-Wan in there, you know, with the Force. I was like, and he's like
to burn.
I was like, that is so cool. You know, it's like I was crapping on the writers last week, and now I was like, oh man, you guys got me, because I wouldn't even think to do something like that. And that was perfect that they wrote that in there. It's like, now you will burn. That was great. I love it. I love it.
Oh yeah. I mean, I still have a little bit of a problem on how that fits in with A New Hope.
No, I do too.
Because now that he knows Kenobi is alive, I can't see him ever stopping. Like, Death Star plans? No, I want Kenobi. We'll catch up to those Death Star plans.
That's true.
But, yeah. You know, but
he might, who knows, the way this series might end, he might think that Obi-Wan is dead.
Maybe we'll see one of those, you know, crazy escapes or something.
But it's weird too. Like Vader, he should have sensed something about Leia. Don't you think?
I was thinking that too for a bit. And all I could think is that maybe he was able to sense Luke at the end of episode 4. Was because Obi-Wan had already started Luke on the path of the Force, which is why, you know, Vader's closing him. He's like, the Force seems strong with this one. Like, maybe because Luke had already learned a little bit about the Force and was getting introduced to it. Leia, on the other hand, was completely in the dark. Well,
that's about a good
it.
Point. That's a good point.
Because same thing, even when she was a teenager.
That's true. Like, yeah, you're right. You're right.
You know, Jack. Here it is. He's torturing the heck out of her, and he still has no inkling that she's his daughter. But yeah. Neither did George Lucas at the time either. So
that's true.
Because I do believe he was making it up as
he went. No, he was for sure. But you know, I agree with you too, and I think a lot of people have that problem where it kind of messes up A New Hope a little bit. But you know what? They did it so well, I'm able to forgive them for it. I just liked what I saw with Vader and Obi-Wan. What I didn't like is that Obi-Wan ran away. Like, he was one of the three stooges.
That's what I mean. Like, Obi-Wan is in, like, he's just in such a bad place right now. And it even goes to tie in, even before A New Hope. Like, remember how we saw him when him and Darth Maul had their final duel, and they were having that face-off that, you know, they're both literally holding sabers and trying to get into a good starting position. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Maul dives and Obi-Wan just gives him the classic quick strike. You know, that was a very different Obi-Wan Kenobi than what we saw on the Disney Plus show just now. Like, it looks like he has himself so much more together, you know, when he faces off against Maul and Rebels, which is still a few years back from A New Hope. So, but maybe the whole point of this is we'll see him getting out of his funk.
Well, yeah, that's just it. I think what's going to happen is he's going to do a Rocky, like in Rocky 3 when Mr. T, Clubber Lang, beat the crap out of him because he wasn't prepared.
Then with an 80s montage.
Yeah, then Apollo trained him, and then he came back and he beat the crap out of Mr. T. That's what's going to happen to Obi-Wan. Something's going to happen, you know, could have something to do with Leia or whatever, but he's going to find himself again. Like right now, you know, people are saying he's got PTSD from everything that happened after, you know, with Revenge of the Sith. I guess he feels partly to blame for the Empire taking power and all the Jedi dying and all that. Oh,
but he also should have been much more pissed at Jimmy Smits.
Why did you say that?
Well, because here it is. Obi-Wan is making a point to keep, you know, undercover, super low profile. And I'm sorry that the senator from Alderaan, you know, just happens to drop by in the middle of the desert, you know.
Yeah, no, we talked about that last week.
Yeah, he should have been like, dude, you couldn't send me a message. You had to come here. Like, you're blowing my cover, man.
Well, the whole thing is, too, you know, that senator, he's got guards. He's rich. You know, he can use Alderaan's military. Right. They know where she is. They just have to send people out to get her. But he's like, no, I need you. See, I think it would have been interesting if she blackmailed him or set him up or something like that and said, look, if you don't send us Obi-Wan, we're going to kill your daughter. Like, she contacts, you know, Reva, if she contacted Bail Organa, it's like, we have your daughter. If you don't send Obi-Wan, she's dead within 48 hours or something like that, you know?
Yeah, but I don't think they put Bail Organa into that kind of...
Well, he was forced to do it, you know?
He's forced because to do it. I think they want to keep him, like, relatively cool and clean.
But he's still messed up, though, you know, by going to Tatooine and forcing him into that whole thing.
Absolutely. But I think having him give in to a kidnapper's demands and set up Obi-Wan... You know, I think that would have been a little too much for Disney Plus to do to Jimmy Smits.
I don't know. After what Vader did, I think Disney Plus is being very liberal with what they can do on that channel now. With the breaking of the necks.
I don't think so.
I don't know.
But at least we know that Vader's not getting redeemed in this one.
No, we know he's not going to die either. Neither's Obi-Wan.
Plot armor.
But yeah, you know, again, I liked it. I liked his conversation that he had with Leia, you know, talking about his brother, which I never knew about. I don't know if that's canon that he had a brother.
I never heard of that before either. So
and you know, and how he was taken away as a young child to become a Jedi.
Well, I knew the Jedi did that.
Oh yeah, like, well, everybody knows that.
Yeah. But I didn't know they pulled him away from his brother.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, you wonder if the brother's going to show up at some point.
Oh, God, I hope not. I hope they don't go down that rabbit hole.
It's going to be like Mr. Spock's brother.
Yes.
But no, I like
to... Why does the Force need a spaceship?
You know, I like, too, that, you know, like when she asked, she goes, are you my father? And... you know, because he was talking about Padme. I like that whole conversation. That was a nice conversation that they had in the truck there. I think that truck seems a little ridiculous. It was like Dumb and Dumber. I don't know if you ever saw Dumb and Dumber. Like they started picking up all these hitchhikers. They'd see people and they're like, pick him up. You know, it's like he picks up Leia and Obi-Wan, and then these two stormtroopers are by. It's like, pick them up too. You know,
who was the voice of that guy though?
That was Zach Braff.
Was it?
Yeah.
It's like at first when he first like, hey, how you doing? Like, for some reason, I'm like, did they just stick John Ratzenberger in there?
No. Well, actually, you know, you're right.
He was in the original trilogy.
Yeah, he did sound a little bit like him.
And then like, you know, both Lynn and I like stopped. We're like, is that? And then he was talking some more like, no, it's not him, but who is it? We knew it was somebody's voice.
You know, I stayed for the credits and I saw his name, but I was like, who the hell was he? You know, but then Dan had contacted me and he says, oh, did you know that Zach Braff had done the voice of, what was his name? Freck?
Or something like that.
Yeah. And I says, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Because he thought it was, no, actually, he thought it was, oh, who's that guy from Knocked Up? Seth Rogen?
Seth Rogen, really?
Yeah, he thought it was Seth Rogen. And I was like, no, it definitely wasn't. And I was the one. I said, no, it's actually, it had to be Zach Braff, you know, Brack, whatever.
Now, the girl who was impersonating the Imperial officer and then eventually saves Obi-Wan at the end, was she on Game of Thrones?
Oh, I don't know. I've never watched it.
I never watched it. Because it looked like...
I kind of liked her.
One of the Viper sisters. And she's a good actor. She's very good. So at least, I think Disney Plus does a pretty good job with their talent pool.
Their casting.
And if she's going to be in the rest of it, I am kind of excited to see more of her.
Yeah, no, I did like her. You know, it seemed like she was a good actress. The only thing I didn't like is Leia says, go help Obi-Wan. And it's like, really, you're going to listen to a kid? You're trying to get the kid back, and you're like, okay, you know? I mean, that's dumb writing when they do crap like that.
Well, it's not dumb writing that little kid Leia would say that because,
no,
you know, she's kind of, they're writing her like, you know, she knows how authority speaks because, you know, she is a princess. You know, and grew up in that environment. But, you know, as another adult, you know, she just said, you know, get over yourself, princess, you know.
Yeah.
The third episode was very good.
I had a question. So that robot that she had, or that droid that was with her, is called Ned B.
The Lifter? Is that what
they call it? Yeah, he's kind of like a, yeah. I kind of think he's not a robot. I think there's a guy inside of there. Because first of all, if they were going to do a droid, they would CGI him, I think. You know, you could say, well, C-3PO, there was a guy inside of him. But, you know, at that point when the stormtroopers came in and he had the gun in his hand and then he puts his hand by the trigger, I don't think a droid would have to do that.
Or when he was kind of holding the wrench behind his back.
Yeah.
Like he was ready to pound one of them with it.
Yeah, maybe that's what it was. And it's, and plus the way his head moves and everything, it just seems too human-like. So I wouldn't be surprised if it turns out that there's a person inside there and it's not actually a droid.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me because if those droids are known for, you know, like the other trooper said, it doesn't even understand you. It only does simple commands, you know, that maybe that's like the perfect cover for a guy to like hide in plain sight.
Yeah. I also thought I thought what was going to happen when they meet that Freck character and Obi-Wan says, you know, you need to keep quiet. Just don't say anything. And then, when the guy pulls up and she says, oh, hello. You know, she starts talking. I thought she was going to say, oh, I'm so-and-so. And this is my father, but he can't talk. He's mute, you know?
Yeah, I know.
I thought that would have been funny if they did something like that. But that's been done before a lot in movies. I kind of find it weird. It doesn't seem like she misses her parents at all.
Who, Leah?
Yeah.
I don't know.
She's a bit of a spoiled brat.
Well, she's the princess, you know, and, you know, she's used to, you know, kind of commanding people around. So I think that's where they're doing a good job with her that way. I think if they had her crying about missing mom and dad, it would kind of start to, I don't know, traumatizing kids too much. You know, I don't want to see her crying and whining like, I want to go home. You know, she could say, I want to go home, but, you know, the whole homesick and all that stuff. I don't know. I don't need to see that right now.
Yeah, I guess so.
But if they expanded it to 13 episodes, I'm sure we'd have a whole very special episode of Obi-Wan Kenobi this week.
Now, there's only three episodes left now.
Yeah. But you know what? That's okay. I think the 6 to 7 episode format works well.
I agree. I am totally on board with something like that. And
yeah, because they don't have time to pad it with a lot of nonsense.
And I think this also proves too that I'm not biased, or I'm not super biased, because I admit it, I did like this episode. I liked it a lot. I'd say I'd probably give this episode an 8 out of 10.
I think that's probably fair.
The other ones,
but the thing is, what saves that episode is when Darth Vader shows up.
That's true.
That's what saves the episode, because the rest of that episode was a 5 or 6. But once he showed up, then it like kicked into gear and you're like, holy crap, what's he going to do next?
And it's a sin, because I know some people are not watching this, and I know Charlie is not watching it. He needs to just fast forward to that Darth Vader scene, because that scene was awesome. That's what we wanted to see Darth Vader like, and that was perfect.
Right. And like I said, that's where it goes back to, you know, a Sith should be on edge, just holding it together, waiting for that rage to come out. And we got to see Darth Vader, you know, that rage coming out. Obi-Wan's here. I want him. I don't care about this town. I want Obi-Wan. And that's what we got to see. You know, he's going through, and like I said, he's just killing people for looking at him, you know.
He's like the worst boss in the world.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I got a question. Like Revenge of the Sith, like when Obi-Wan chops his arms and his legs off. So what did he chop off 3 limbs or was it 4?
No, I think he took off 3, but remember, he had already lost one to Dooku.
But didn't he lose his hand, or did he lose his arm?
He lost his arm.
Oh, yeah, up to his elbow. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, yes. And then Obi-Wan got the other 3 from the high ground. Yeah, so yeah, Darth Vader's pretty screwed up.
Yeah.
But I still don't know how Reva knows
he's Anakin. Yeah, well, we'll find out. I'm sure we'll find out about it. And it might piss some of us off. There's implication that maybe she was one of the younglings and she feels betrayed by Obi-Wan.
Yeah, but that still doesn't, you know, nobody said, hey, guess what? You know, who's on that black mask? That's Anakin Skywalker. You know, there's nobody around, because that's like one of those huge secrets.
You know, and the only ones that really know are Anakin himself. Anakin, Obi-Wan, the Emperor, Yoda, and I think that's about it, you know?
Right. It's supposed to be a secret.
Yeah. I doubt that, like, as Fedra said, well, maybe Vader told her. And I was like, I can't picture him doing that. By the way, I'm Anakin Skywalker. Yeah.
Why would he let...
If it's revealed that he tells her, you know, what a bunch of BS.
Vader sitting on his throne. Come here.
Have a seat.
Come here, little Reva. Let me tell you a story. You know, like, no.
You had a tough life. Let me tell you about mine. I lost my arms, my legs, all to that damn Obi-Wan.
I lost it all. I had to walk out of a volcano with no legs uphill the whole way. You know, like, I don't know. Like I said, that her knowing who he is, I didn't get that. I don't know where that's going to come from, and I can't see it due to a heartfelt moment between, you know, the Dark Lord of the Sith and an Inquisitor, you know.
Yeah,
I don't know, but like I said, the third episode was very good. You know, I actually want to watch it again, just to see how all that played out again.
It's rare. I rarely go back to watching episodes. I might watch this one again. So yeah, that's how good it was.
Just fast forward until Vader shows up.
Well, no, there's still, I don't mind seeing the truck scene again. You know, I think there's some scenes that I probably watch the whole thing again. What the hell?
I keep waiting for him to pull out the lightsaber again, though.
Yeah, that's kind of
lame. He's always shooting everybody.
Yeah, and punching them.
Until he has to use it to defend himself with Vader, but... Like, yeah. I would love to see him, like, whip out the lightsaber on the stormtroopers.
But it's definitely got me interested. I can't wait for the next episode. So, they did a good job. All right, let's get into it.
I think
the news.
They did.
Yeah, I'm glad we're on the same page, Jack. For once.
For once.
So, let's get into the news. So, Johnny Depp won his defamatory case against Amber Heard. And he was awarded $15 million.
I think that's ridiculous, but I've said it before. I think it's both of them are screwed up people.
Yeah.
I would have loved it if the jury awarded Johnny Depp $10 million, you know, and then they awarded Amber Heard $10 million and let them both go back on their own way. Did leave nothing to show for it.
Well, again, it's a side. It makes me sick. That everybody is, there's so many people that are Team Johnny and they won't even look at the evidence. And again, she is, I would never want to be with that person. Like, I'd never want to marry her or even go on a blind date with her because she just seems nasty. But he's a raving drunk, high as a kite guy every freaking day. You know, he just constantly does drugs and he doesn't think that there's anything wrong with it. How's he supposed to remember, you know, if he hit her? I'm sure he probably did. I'm sure they hit each other. I'm sure they said horrible things to each other. You know, they're both not the nicest of people. Nobody wants to be with them. Although, I'm sure she stayed with him for the money. He had a lot of money and he had a lot of fame. And she knew that was going to open doors for her. But, you know, she made me sick, too. It's like, you know, she made it seem like she was defenseless. She was a little lamb and she was afraid to leave and all that. It's like, but when you hear the recording, she's pretty nasty.
I'm sure there was verbal abuse from both of them.
Oh yeah.
But honestly, I do believe he probably, you know, she was sexually assaulted. I do believe that went down because him from everything that, like, not from either of them, but what other people have said, I believe in that regard that she was abused that way. And like I said, that's something no woman deserves.
Well, again, she's getting it.
Even if she's mean and she said terrible things and she insulted his tattoo, that does not excuse it.
No, I just think it's sad. I'm sure they both went through hell, but there's always a doorknob that both of them could have used to get out of it. They were both rich at the time and they could have said, screw this. I'm getting out of here. I'm going to live in the Riviera or something like that. And I'll just divorce you later. But it's like, no, we need to make this work. It's like, it's just really weird. You would just think that they would just separate really early instead of like saying, it's like, well, I want to see how miserable I really can get, you know? And I think she stood as long as she did to see how much money she can get. But again, you know, that neither one of them were saints. And
I'm just glad we don't have to listen to it anymore.
Well, you know, what I just don't like about society is like they already decided she was guilty even before the trial started. And most people didn't listen to the evidence. They just hated her. She was guilty because people hated her. Well, in public.
Public opinion. Yeah.
But the jury, they might have weighed things differently. They might have looked at the evidence and all that. But it's, you know, people.
We could get into this very heavily because it's truly a terrible way that it goes, that we've seen it in major, well, not even major, but we've heard stories about criminal cases where a bunch of guys, you know, rape a girl. And then in court, the judge says, oh, but, you know, he's such a promising young man. He has his whole life in front of him, you know, disregarded the fact that he's emotionally scarred another human being for the rest of her life, you know, but we should feel bad because, you know, he has such promise going ahead. You know, we've seen this whole blame the victim so many times. It's terrible. And I think that's Amber Heard fell victim to that right out of the gate.
Well, like I said, you know, she's not 100% innocent, but I also think she's not, but walking away from this though. I mean,
how do you
know she wasn't telling the truth? Nobody knows other than those two. One of them is lying. But again, the public's like, well, it can't be Johnny because he was so good as Jack Sparrow.
He was so good as Jack Sparrow. He couldn't tell a lie, even though his character did nothing but tell lies.
That's true. Yeah. All right. So hopefully they're gone for good.
Yeah. Hopefully they go away. And Johnny Depp, now that you've lost all your franchises, maybe you'll go away and fade to obscurity.
I think he's going to have a career now because he's so popular now. And they'll be knocking on his door with loads of money. Please do Pirate 6 now. You know, we'll do anything to have you back. And
no,
he'll definitely be in a Pirates movie by the end of this century. I'll just say that.
I hope he never gets another piece of work.
And, oh man, and you really don't like Johnny Depp.
I don't.
He's lucky you weren't on the jury.
I would never would have made it past the jury screening. You know, I never liked him before. I think he's become a caricature of the characters he's played. That he thinks he's Jack Sparrow, you know, and he can get away with the same flippant attitude with things. I don't like him. I haven't liked him for years.
I hate people that take on an English accent that were born in Kentucky, you know.
With the French accent. He doesn't sound like anybody from Kentucky, I ever bet.
No. You know, he's just a phony. And what bothers me too is, like, I was watching legal analysts talk about the case, and they're like, well, he handled himself very well. He's a very charming fellow. And it's like, he's an actor. You don't think that he was prepped for all this, you know, how to answer questions. Anyway, let's move on. Let's move on to another.
In fact, there was one scene where I think his lawyer, one of the lawyers was a woman in a white dress. And she's talking up at the podium, and there's a shot behind him, and he's obviously like looking her up and down. And I'm just like, you're such a dog. Like, this is on camera in the courtroom of you scoping out the lawyer, babe.
No, it's crazy. It's, I know that, the fans already have those two married, his lawyer and him married. They're like, oh, wouldn't it be wonderful if they got married? They'd make such a cute couple together. I was like, shut the hell up. And then someone outside the courtroom is like, you know, do you think Johnny will run for office? You know, like a news crew asked that. And they're like, yes, Johnny for president. And I was like, do you seriously want this guy for president? Do you know how much drugs this guy has taken in his lifetime? It's just, people are idiots. And again, I don't have anything against Johnny Depp, and I do like some of his movies, definitely more than you. But
I enjoyed the first pirate movie immensely.
Yeah, and I liked Corpse Bride. What other animated thing? Oh, I liked Rango. I liked him in Rango.
Because he didn't have to look at him. You just got to see him as a little lizard.
Yeah, but I thought he did an excellent job. If you ever watch that movie, just his dialogue and his performance is very good. Better than when he is on live screen, you know, when he's doing things live.
Well, hopefully he goes away and we never have to look at him again.
All right. For Jack's sake. Well, let's hope for that.
For my sake.
We did talk about this. Lucasfilm came out and defended Moses Ingram over racist tweets by Star Wars fans. They said, we are very proud to welcome Moses Ingram to the Star Wars family. And especially excited for Reva's story to unfold. If anyone intends to make her feel in any way uncomfortable, we have only one thing to say. We resist. There are more than 20 million sentient species in the Star Wars galaxies. Don't choose to be racist. So
the mega corporation is going to resist.
Yeah, like they did with China.
It's so good that they're such an underdog with the billions of dollars they have that, you know, they're going to resist the opinions of the common plebs.
Look how they bend over backwards for China. Like they took out that scene when, you know, the two girls were kissing at the end of the Rise of Skywalker just because they were afraid it was going to offend the Chinese over there. And then they also, in The Force Awakens, they kind of basically eliminated Finn from the poster because they knew that they had problems with, I guess, African-Americans.
Well, you know, we do know that there is a toxic segment of fandom. It's not just Star Wars. It's every,
there's
always some people who are so wrapped up in, this is what I like that you showed me the first time, and any alteration I have problems with. We know there are people out there like that. You know, and just to hate on her because of her race is, of course, ridiculous. But like I said, my complaint with the character is she should have, I don't know, looked more, like I said, looked
like
sullen,
like an
more
inquisitor.
Silly, you know?
I mean, and
like
it's not...
I said, when she gets redeemed, her eyes go back to normal. She gets color in her face again, and she's beautiful again because, you know, she's embraced the light, you know? But she doesn't look Sithy enough. You know,
I'm
she has clothes, but that's it.
I'm sure this actress would love to warn a mask or makeup or anything like that. But I'm sure it was Disney's decision or Lucasfilm's decision that's like, no, we need to portray a strong black female character and we can't cover her up. We need everybody to see, you know, her blackness. You know, she has to have...
I'm sure that was a discussion somewhere around.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure it was. You know, but
that's not her fault.
No, that's what I said. I bet you that actress would love to have makeup on or to have a mask on, you know, just to look more consistent with the other Inquisitors. And she probably realized it too. It's like, why do I look so different from them?
And let's face it. If you're going to be anyone in a Star Wars movie, the villains have much more fun.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you know, the villains are the people who make everything happen. You know, the heroes just react to them. You know, the heroes don't go out and do anything on their own. It's always, you know, the villains are motivating them, chasing them, you know, just tormenting them at every step of the way. So you're probably right. If she was like, from what I've read, I haven't read a lot of what she has to say, but the bits I've read from her and the statement she made, I could see her being like, oh yeah, villain me up, you know, and just going for it full on.
It's just an excuse. I mean, I'm not saying her, she's not making any excuses. Like I thought it was cool because she did kind of respond to it. And she goes, well, they're idiots, you know, and that's what you're supposed to say. But I think what Disney did was wrong because they also imply too that if you don't like the character, well, maybe you're a racist. It's the whole thing is like, if you remember The Mandalorian, we had Giancarlo Esposito. And we had Carl Weathers. Nobody ever said anything about them. You know,
well, no one ever had a problem with Billy Dee Williams.
Yeah, because we liked them. You know, we liked the characters. It's the characters we don't like. It's, you know, like when people didn't like Rose, we didn't like her because she was Asian. We just didn't like the character. But that's how they try to spin things around. And I didn't like what Kylie Marie Tran did. You know, like she embraced it. It's like, oh, yes, these people are racist. I've been suffering with this all my life. And it's just a horrible thing that I have had to gone through. And to think that I have to go through this, you know.
Well, you know, it's, you know, and I'm sorry if this is coming across as the white maleness.
Yeah.
It's not something that you and I can relate to. We don't get it, you know, because it's not something we have to deal with. So Kelly Tran could have been very legitimately hurt by the reaction and the hate that she got, you know, on the basis of not her ability, but just because she was Asian, you know. And the same thing, this girl, you know, getting the hate because, you know, why do we have to have a, you know, a black actress as, you know, however, this girl seems to be a little tougher, a little thicker skin than Kelly Tran. You know,
but that's like the whole thing. Thick skin. If you're going to be an actor, an actress, you need to have thick skin.
But you know what? Like I said, you and I have never had to.
That's true, with that Jack. Kind
of prejudice.
But we've had. I mean, I know in high school. I mean, I know.
Everybody. I mean, you can't go that way. Everybody got
to daily. You know, worse things said to me than the tweets that I've read that were said to this actress. To be honest with you, the tweets that they had put out there that they said were racist, they're not horrible. Like, they don't say, you know, like the worst words that you can think of. I mean, they're just stupid. I mean, anyone that has a problem with a character or an actress and they contact them just to say, I hate you, you know, I hope you die and stuff like that, are just idiots. I mean, and who knows? They could be children that are doing this. You never know who the hell is making fun of you. It can be kids. It could be male. It could be female, for all you know.
Exactly. But like I said, I mean, I think Kelly Tran's feelings were justified. This girl's feelings are justified. And like I said, we just don't get it.
Well, no, but what I think that Disney is doing is they're virtue signaling, and they're trying to make it like, you know, we are standing by this girl, you know, this person of color, this beautiful person of color who's a tremendous actress. And they're not acknowledging the problem that most people are having is that they just don't like the character. And it's not necessarily the actress, because like when I hear people say, well, it's like, well, I hate her. And I'm like, well, I don't think she's a bad actress. I mean, I just think that the character, again, she's inconsistent with the rest of the Inquisitors. It is kind of like they did throw her in there because they wanted specifically to have, you know, a black female lead in the series. And then they had to write the character around a black female actress. And that's where Disney fails. And I think that what bothers me about this, again, is that they're kind of implying to the fans, if you don't like this character, maybe you have a problem with racism. And I think that they're going to double down, and they're going to be doing this more and more again in the upcoming series. And they just want to see how we react. Like, they want to pat themselves on the back to say, we're not racist. It's like, because, you know, we cast a black female as Peter Pan, you know, and we just see that person as Peter Pan. Where, you know, most people, no matter what color you are, will not see that character as Peter Pan because they have a preconceived idea of what the character looks like based on the cartoon.
Based on what your previous presentations of the character.
Yeah. Now this one, there was no previous,
right,
you know, idea of what this character, because it was a new character. So yeah, they want to do something like that. That's fine. Create new characters. That's fine. But yeah, I just hate like how people virtue signal and like they make it like you're the problem. When the whole thing is, I just don't think that the country is as racist as they think that it is. I think for the majority, we all get along and we don't judge movies or characters based on people's colors of skin. I mean, you know, look back, like, you know, Eddie Murphy, all the movies we've seen with him, Michael Jackson, all the albums that we bought from him, you know, sports figures. It's the people that like to point the finger that this country has a problem with racism. I feel like that's the problem. Otherwise, we just get along. We've always gotten along, you know, for the most part.
I wouldn't go that far, but I know one thing that I'm really, you know what I'm kind of getting sick of, and I've totally been put off of DC Comics because of this. The whole line, I'm done with DC. Even though I was always a Marvel guy, I still checked out some DC stuff. And Star Wars is going the same route. And they're saying to their fans, well, if you don't like our message, you know, we don't need you. And you can only keep saying that for so long before people start saying, you know what? Fine. I don't need your product anymore. And, you know, the same way for Star Wars, for Lucasfilm and Star Wars in general to say, well, you know what? If you don't like this character, you're racist. Like we said, it's not the actress. There's problems itself with the character that make you not like the character. Not the fact that it's a black actress, but the fact that it's not consistent with that type of character we've seen before. You know, like I said, I like the character. I like that she's that pissed off Sith, you know, and she's just full of rage constantly. I love that about her, you know. But if she was white, Hispanic, Chinese, it wouldn't make a difference to me.
Oh, yeah. No, if that character was a white male, everybody would still hate that character.
We're supposed to hate the character.
No.
She's not the villain.
No. They just wouldn't like the characters. What I'm saying is that...
Oh, yeah. You know, I mean, because there's problems with the character. It's not the casting that a lot of people don't like. You know, the people that don't like it because of the casting, well, you know what? Yeah, you do have a problem. But I'm getting tired of hearing, you know, like DC, you know, oh, you don't like the fact that we're turning our heroes gay, you know, or bisexual, even though there was never any inkling of it before. Well, you know what? We don't need you as a reader anymore. You know, you're racist. You're a bigot. No, I just don't like what you're doing with the character. You know, just because I have, once again, if you have a different opinion from them, you know, you're the worst person in the world. It's almost like a cancel culture. It's the same thing that Disney is would rather you don't watch our show if you're going to be like that. You know, and like I said, you're going to play that card too many times and people are going to say, yeah, you know what? I kind of don't want to watch your show anymore. I'm kind of tired of your line. You know, I'm tired of the message being forced on me and that if I don't agree with it, you're calling me something, you're calling me a bigot or a racist. You know, it's just sort of this attitude that Disney is having, I have to say, is starting to sour me a little bit on the company.
Oh, well, it is for me, for sure. I really feel they need new leadership, and I hope they get it soon. I mean, I don't like the politics that are going on in Florida. I think he's somewhat crossing the line a little bit. But, you know, they do weird things, and they need to be non-political. They need to stay out of politics, and because they're an entertainment company. Their job is to entertain people. All people, you know, all, you know, which includes everybody, even the people that they don't agree with. It, you know, again, like you said, it's like, are you supposed to tell somebody, it's like, well, if you don't agree with this, why don't you go hang out with Warner Brothers or Universal? Because you know what? We don't need you because we don't like people that don't think like us. It's stupid thinking. You know, you want to learn from people and you want to find common ground with each other.
And it's also, you know what, you said they're an entertainment company. Okay. Protect your brands, protect your franchises, protect your properties. And, you know, forcing social messages onto your brands takes away from them. You know, the whole controversy that they're talking about, where I think even Ewan McGregor also made a post on Twitter about it as well.
But that was fine what he said, though. He was just, he's a producer of the show, and he just wanted to say, you know, he supports.
But I mean, even he's jumping in on it. And it's like, you know, guys, come on, just make your show. Let us enjoy it. You know, don't be pushing an agenda on us when we just want Star Wars. If you have a whole galaxy of crazy looking people and aliens, you don't need to force diversity casting on us for the sake of it. You know, like I said, concentrate on your characters, make your characters good. And you may have a good point. Carl Weathers was terrific in the Mandalorian. You know, everybody loves Billy Dee Williams. You know, I liked Finn. I think John Boyega is terrific.
And Fennec, everybody liked Fennec.
Yeah, there's no, you know, that's not what Star Wars is about. You know, and anybody could have played those characters. Their race was not a unique feature of the character itself. Anybody could have played that character, you know, and that's what they have to do. They have to develop characters anybody could play. You know, a casting note should be out. We're looking for athletic female who can do stage fighting and stunts. And it doesn't matter, because that's what they need for somebody like the Sith. You know, they need somebody who can get physical and do stuff. But when they're like, no, we need a black female character, you know, I don't know, whatever stipulations they put in them. I've seen some of them and it's like, wow, you're looking for a really specific type here. You know, just like I said, just make good characters with good stories and forget the social agenda.
Yeah, I think it would make more people happy. Well,
the core wise man, happy. I have spoken.
It's sometimes unfortunate when you try to make everybody happy, you make nobody happy. You know, like where you change things so much that it's just so different from the original property. And I think that's what Disney's doing. And they need to wake up. Stop being woke. They need to wake up. All right, let's see here. So did you see the Willow trailer?
The which trailer?
The Willow trailer.
No, I didn't.
I sent it to you. Well, I
didn't enjoy the first movie, so.
I know you didn't.
I don't understand why there's always been such a demand for it. Warwick Davis has been in, like, I think nearly every Lucasfilm movie going.
Yeah.
So he doesn't lack a shortage of work.
Was that a pun?
Oh, no, it wasn't.
All right.
You know, no, but
I saw him at.
And let's face it, none of us want to see Val Kilmer as the mercenary for hire anymore.
He's not going to be in it. But I saw the trailer. The trailer is actually pretty good. I think you would like it. It looks a little bit like Lord of the Rings. And, you know, Warwick Davis is in it. He looks the same age as he was. Like, he's wearing, I guess, like a brown wig to imply that maybe he doesn't age that like we do. But I think it looks fun. I think it could be a good series. I like the first movie, although I did watch it recently on Disney Plus, and I was like, why did I like this movie? You know, I like my favorite parts, though, is when they're among the wee people and their wee little village and all that. I thought that was nice. It was cute. And you saw like their children and they all lived a very happy life, like within their own society. And they were good people. They were bad people. And I just thought it was nice. I thought the music was nice. But yeah, once Val Kilmer got into it, it got a little crazy. And then there was
his name, like Mad Mardigan or something.
Yeah.
That?
Yep. And,
the redhead was hot.
She was. Well, he ended up marrying her.
Did he?
Yeah. And,
I don't remember the actress's name, but I remember she was really, really pretty.
Yeah. I had a couple of kids.
Good for him.
Yeah. They got divorced recently. Oh, maybe a couple of years ago. But they still keep in contact and all that. Anyway, I still like the movie a little bit. I like the beginning and I like the end. And I thought Warwick Davis was really good as the lead character, you know, and it's got to be tough for someone like that to take on a role like that. And I think he did an excellent job. It's just that, you know, there were some story problems. I think Lucas was behind that.
Right.
And I think he was trying to make another Star Wars. And
Well, I heard he wanted to take a stab at the Lord of the Rings, and they said no.
Oh, really? That he wanted
so
that?
So he was like, "Well, I'll make my own Lord of the Rings."
I think he just wanted a new franchise, but it was very similar in ways, yeah, to Lord of the Rings, but also Star Wars too. All right, so you don't have to watch Jack if you don't want to watch.
I don't want to watch it.
So, did you see Top Gun Maverick?
Yes, I did.
You did?
I did.
So, where did you see it? Like, what kind of theater?
I could not get in the Atmos theater.
Oh yeah.
So I saw it on a big screen. It was had good sound, but not the. I always like to go for that Dolby Atmos. I love the fact that the sound is so directional around you in that versus your standard, you know, Dolby stereo kind of thing. But yeah, I loved it. I thought it was great. And I'm not a huge Tom Cruise fan, but I got to say he was good. I even liked Miles Teller.
Miles Teller?
Teller. Why do I keep saying Teg? Oh, I think that's the name of a character in the Dune books. I usually can't stand him because I just find him very smug in every role he played. But in this one, I got to say he was really good and very likable in this. Tom Cruise, same thing. He's grown worlds apart from his days from Top Gun. He's a much better actor now. And it was great all around. I loved the movie. I thought it was terrific.
See, I'm going to disagree with you in one way. I think Tom Cruise has always been a good actor. I think he gets a lot of heat because of his looks and, you know, he doesn't get the respect he should, but I really think that he usually delivers in almost every role that he's in. I'm kind of tired of the Mission Impossible movies. I think the next movie, I think they're up to 8, is going to be the last one.
It's a two-parter.
Is it a two-parter?
This next one is a two-parter.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, I think there was a part one or something like that.
No,
but
I'm not saying he was bad earlier in his career, but I just think he's gotten so much better. He just shows such a much better range. Like in the first Top Gun, when Goose died, I didn't remember getting choked up or anything about it. It's like, okay, yeah, it happened. Because
he was an arrogant, you know, jerk.
Yeah, but in this one, you know, when he's thinking back on it and when he's talking with, you know, Iceman, you know, I was like, oh, damn, you know, like I found myself getting a little worked up.
Oh, damn. I couldn't picture you with
maybe,
that.
Maybe I'm just getting to be a softie in my old age.
No, I think he's always been a good actor since Risky Business.
I just think he's gotten so much better in the last few years.
And Rain Man, I thought he deserved the Oscar more than Dustin Hoffman in that movie. Dustin, yeah, that's my personal opinion. Color of Money, he was good. There's just so many good movies that he's been in. The big problem with him is the whole Scientology thing. I think people don't take him serious because of that, too.
Well, that's also a big problem.
But you know, I like the movie, but, you know, I got to say, though, it was, well, you got to admit that it was the end basically was a ripoff of Star Wars.
Oh, well, you know, when he takes the shot without computer guidance and he hits it, it's like, yeah, all right.
Well, just even going down the trench, you know.
And the point when they said, you know, in the movie, they said, you know, it's like 3 meters wide.
Yeah.
I was there and turned to Patrick and said, 3 meters? We've hit, we hit Womp Rats bigger than that in Beggar's Canyon. You know, it was like,
and
I don't know. Like I said, that was funny. But like I said, I think him and the guy Miles Teller. I think the two of them had good chemistry together too. They played off each other very well.
Miles Teller is a good actor. I really like him. I've liked him in everything he's been in, but he is a jerk. He's like a Shia LaBeouf, Ezra Miller. He's in that category. that he's just rude to so many people. He thinks he's better than everybody else, but damn, that guy's a good actor. Like, I don't know if you've ever seen Whiplash. He was great in Whiplash, and I've seen him in other things, and I think he's a good actor, but he just needs to be more humble. But no, I think the story wasn't that great, really, to be honest with you, but it just was a fun, entertaining movie. You know, there's a difference. It's like you can go and see a movie and have a great time, and you know it's not going to win Oscars for Best Picture or Direction or anything like that. But I enjoyed it, but I just thought, you know, wasn't. I like the first one better. I like Top Gun better than this one.
No, I gotta say, I think I like this one better than the first one.
I wanted to go see it in 4DX. Charlie saw it in 4DX, and he loved it. And he was telling me, like, well, do you know what 4DX is?
I have no idea. What is that?
It's kind of like a ride. Like, Taylor was on it a couple of times.
Oh, that's like when they had, like, the sense around stuff, right?
Well, yeah, the seats move to the left, the right, forward, backwards. And you get, like, he said, like, you know, like when they're sailing, you get sprayed with water, you know? In your seat, but it's all in your seat, you know, it's all coming from your seat, you know, you get wind in your face, that's pretty damn cool. You know, I would love to have seen that like that, but the nearest one is in Orlando, and it's just too far. I mean, I might see it. It's a possibility. I'm going to Orlando in a couple of weeks, so maybe I'll check it out when I'm down there. But yeah, no, it was a fun and time movie anyway. So it actually broke a record on Memorial Day weekend. It beat out Pirates. Pirates had the box office for Memorial Day weekend. I think they made $156 million Top Gun at the domestic office for the Memorial Day weekend, and Pirates was like 152. So it's good for them, you know, with all the controversy going on with Johnny Depp and Disney. I'm kind of glad that Top Gun Maverick took the spot. And you know what? You know what's good about this movie too? It's patriotic. It's kind of nice to see that. You know, like where people don't hate this country, that they love this country, and that they.
What I found funny was they're doing everything to avoid mentioning, you know, like Russia.
Oh yeah, Russia.
I was like, the enemy. I'm like, well, who's the enemy? You know.
Yeah, I noticed that too. But you know what I was going to say too? You know what was great too? The whole crew of the Top Gun school, you know, everybody in there, and it was very diverse. And it's just you just saw them as pilots, you know, and it wasn't forced diversity. It just was, they just got the characters right. Like, again, they didn't play major characters, but when you know, things work, they work. And this worked.
Yeah, you're right. It did work. I mean, and that's the whole point. You had a diverse cast, and you know what? You didn't make a point of the diversity. You know, it's like everybody was there. Everybody was equal. Everybody was friends.
Yeah.
Except for the one smiley guy who was just a jerk.
But you know, it was funny because, like, even, like, again, going back to the old Star Wars, he was kind of like Han Solo. Yeah, he showed up at the end. And he was that obnoxious pilot like Han Solo.
Well, I was expecting, like, the rest of the squad to show up, actually.
No, I knew he was, like, when he was, like, on the aircraft carrier and he was, like, dying to go up there, I knew he was going to go up there without even getting orders and save them. But, no, it was cool. It was fun. Sorry for spoiling the movie if you guys haven't seen it. It's a fun movie. Oh, by the way, did you know Doctor Strange is going to be on Disney Plus? I think it's June 22nd.
Oh, that's soon. Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty soon.
That's good. I'd like to see that again.
When did that come out? May 9th? I think.
Was it?
That's quick.
I think it was the beginning of May.
That's a quick turnaround.
Yeah, that is.
It's like you like, well, people go, like, people like us go and see the movie because we can't wait, you know, like if you were to hear that, well, it's going to be in Disney Plus in less than 2 months, we wouldn't be able to wait.
I wouldn't be able to wait. I got to go see it.
So this came out today that Warner Brothers, the new Warner Brothers CEO, is actually had contacted the Joker director, Todd Phillips, to play a major role in this, the DCEU. They want him basically to be the Kevin Feige of the DC movies. And so hear me out. I know you didn't like Joker, but see, these guys, again,
and I told you, I even gave it a try. I lasted half an hour.
That's okay.
And I was like, this is just not for me. So,
but that movie cost, I think, like $70-80 million to make, Joker. And it made over $1 billion. And that
Joker made over $1 billion?
It did, yeah.
That's surprising.
And that's why the new owners of Warner Brothers are like, we want this guy. And I'll be honest with you, Jack, when you think of all the movies that I'm not including the Dark Knight movies, but you know, the Snyder movies and the Wonder Woman movie and Aquaman and all that crap, this is still the best DC movie for me, because it's a real movie and it's just an incredible performance. I can understand why they want him to be in charge. And I think he'll do a good job if he does decide to take it. But if he does take it, he's basically kind of giving up directing, I guess. Well, maybe he'll direct for them. I mean, I would do it if I was him. I think, again, I loved it. I saw it again recently. It's a fantastic movie, a fantastic performance. And I think it's the best DC movie within, is it this? I wouldn't say this century, but, you know, within maybe the last 10 years. So I know you don't give a damn about that, though.
You know what? The way DC is going in the comics, I'm almost afraid of what's coming on screen. Unless this new guy running Warner Brothers gets it right on track, I seriously think they've just lost their way, lost their minds. Like that picture, that bit you sent me today about Batman. You know, Batman's okay with people, you know, robbing and looting, you know, and considering, oh, it's a victimless crime, you know, and let them off, you know. That's not Batman. Batman fights crime. You know, he doesn't, you know, tolerate, you know, people breaking into a store and grabbing everything just because, oh, it's victimless. Nobody was hurt. That's not Batman. Batman stops people from acting like criminals. And
yeah, like what I said, what they're doing is they're forcing their own words into Batman's mouth. Because Batman would never, like you said, say anything like that or doing. He would stop them, you know, and say, you know, he probably would just come down and say, look, I don't want to have to kick your ass.
He'd come down and say, put it back.
Yeah, put it back, because if you don't, I'm going to kick your ass.
Right.
You know, he wouldn't sit there and go, well, it is a victimless crime. You know, the Best Buy has got insurance. You know, they'll collect on the insurance. No, that's not Batman. And then, like, he kind of pisses on capitalism, saying that, well, capitalism was the problem. These people didn't even have a chance. So what's wrong with them? Basically looting. They deserve it. It's like they can't have nice cars or anything because of the way society is. Like, you know, but Bruce Wayne, your whole life has been a result of capitalism. He would never have been Batman if not for capitalism. It's just, I hate these writers. They're just, again, I would never tweet to them and say any nasty things to them, but they're just pushing their own agenda into these characters. And, you know, it's just, it is ridiculous that everybody, you know, mostly at DC, it just seems like everybody, the Trinity, it seems, is that, I guess you can consider bisexual. I guess that's gay, right? You know, Batman, Superman.
Well, it could go either way, you know.
Yeah. And Wonder Woman. They're either bisexual or they're gay right now. And I just think, everybody, it's like almost every week somebody is coming out. And yeah, I mean, they're definitely, you know, there's you see more of that, you know, nowadays, you know, through this generation, but it's not everybody. And
right, it's not everybody, and it doesn't have to be everybody. Yeah. But like I said, I think Jim Lee and company have just gone, you know, there used to be editors that would say, you know, like, hey, we have to be consistent. You know, like, we don't have to be slaves to continuity, but we have to be consistent with characters. And it's like you said, you know, whatever a writer wants to put in the words of the character, you know, that's fine. And it's like, no, Batman is supposed to sound a certain way. Superman is supposed to sound a certain way. You know, Superman wouldn't be fine with people looting. You know, he never should be. And it's the same thing. There should be editors that tell these writers, no, you know what? Batman should do that. And even at Marvel, no, Captain America isn't going to crap all over the concept of the American dream, you know, because that's just not who he is. Where are the editors to rein these writers in and say, hey, we have to stay consistent with our brands, what our customers like and what they expect? And DC has thrown that out the window. Marvel has its moments, but at least they're a little bit better.
Well, you said something to me a while ago, which I think rings very true, that the people that they're writing these comics for don't buy comics really, you know, or they're not a large amount of people that will go out of their way to buy comics for it. And that's why they're doing so horrible.
That's this message now. Since DC made that push with its inclusion campaign, only the Batman titles are in the top 50 of best-selling comic books now, which has never happened before. Superman has never dropped out of it, but it's now nearly all of its titles are not in the top 50, which should be extremely telling to the company itself. But, you know, for some reason, they don't seem to care. So they can go down tubes. The other problem has consistently been, while the comics look beautiful because they're printed on magazine quality paper stock with digital coloring and all this stuff, all that has jacked the prices up that kids can't, they're too expensive for kids.
Yeah. I can't afford it.
Yeah, and as old guys start to age out, there's nobody new coming up behind us to keep the thing going. So they resort to different tactics, but this latest crop of stuff is just falling flat.
Well, I think that Disney doesn't care about the comic book section of their business. All they know is that they care about the movies. The movies are making billions of dollars. And they're like, well, we'll let the comic books flounder. You know, maybe people will buy it. I'm sure it's operating at a loss. But they're okay with that because they need them in a way. I don't think they're going to say, well, from now on, we're no longer making comic books because it's not profitable. We're just going to make movies. I think they'll accept a loss in comic books just because, you know.
Well, if you look at it the other way, I mean, a large chunk of their work in developing a movie is done from the comics. You have rough storylines. You have storyboards, you know, made up. Just look at a comic panel. That's how they do storyboards for movies, how they script out each scene. They've got 60, 70 years worth of stories already formatted out like that. You know, it's just what they want to do with them. But I think somebody at Disney has to be looking at this and say, you know what? The superhero craze isn't going to last forever.
I was telling Tom that today.
There's going to be a point where, you know, you'll have your diehard fans that go, but the general public isn't going to go for it. Like Star Trek movies. You know, I don't know how many new fans Star Trek brings in, but you know what? Whatever they put out, there's a solid core audience that is going to slap down a buck to see it.
Yeah, no, I was just thinking today, like, you remember Tim Burton's Batman when that came out? How that was huge.
Right.
Like, people were just flipping out, buying tickets, buying merchandise. Merchandise was everywhere. Subways, Macy's, you name it. It just was all over the place. And then all of a sudden it was gone. I mean, it was unfortunate, but after Batman and Robin, it just disappeared. And then I guess it was like almost 10 years later is when we got X-Men. And I remember going to see that and I was excited about it because we hadn't seen a superhero movie in a while.
And which was first? Was it X-Men or the first Spider-Man?
It was X-Men.
It was X-Men? Okay.
And I was like, well, you know what? This wasn't that bad. I mean, it wasn't great, but it had its moments. And I was like, it made me feel good. And it wasn't super successful at the box office, but I was like, at least they're trying, you know?
Yeah. And then second one came and that set the bar in.
Oh, yeah. That's still the best X-Men movie, the second one. But no, then Spider-Man came and that thing took off like gangbusters, you know, and that was the reemergence of the superhero movie. Like, but X-Men started it and then Spider-Man helped push it along. And that's where we are right now, you know. So, but where we had that little crash in between, we are going to have that too. It's like, you know, you don't see as much Westerns as we used to see. We don't see as much war movies as we used to see. So at some point, superhero movies are going to kind of fade out too. People are going to get tired of it. They're going to be, you don't know what they're going to do. They're going to get greedy, just like comic books, like where they're going to make way too many superhero movies and they're going to be a lot of bad ones. And then people are just not going to waste their money because they're going to be afraid that a good one is actually a bad one. And like Venom and Morbius, and I think those are leading to the crash that's eventually going to happen. And DC.
Right. It's Sony. Sony's going to doom it all.
Yeah. All right. I guess let's wrap this up. So, Jack, can you tell everyone where they can find you?
You can always send me some email at jackm@wdwnt.com.
And if you want, you can email me at joe@wdwnt.com or send me a friend request on Facebook. And please check out WDW News Today, Disneyland News Today, as Universal Parks News Today for all your Disney and Universal news. And let's see. Finally, if you like our show and enjoy other WDWNT podcasts and like to become a Patreon supporter, please visit the WDWNT Patreon page at www.patreon.com/WDWNT. So with that, this will be the end of WDWNT Nerd Alert Season 8, Episode 26. So until next time, see ya.
Good night, all, and please be good to each other.
Aww.